it can be somewhat challenging to try to understand why St. Matthew gives us these texts, one from Hosea and one from Jeremiah, to help us penetrate the mystery. We've talked before about how every event in our Lord's life is a mystery to be steady on. In other words, it's a revelation of God's plan. And to penetrate those, you see, for instance, today at the Rosary, we have the sorrowful mysteries, but, you know, to pray, to take a decade and to ponder this. Here is the Son of God, forced to flee at night, carried by his mother, led by his father, out of his own land, the land he gave to these people in order to save himself. And he's carried out. He's a child. This is amazing, isn't it? That the viciousness and jealousy, and Herod killed many of his own children because he thought they were trying to take his throne. His sons, mostly. All, I think. He learned, you know, about the 2 years from the Magi, so he calculated, well, we'll kill anybody under two. Now, part of this, then, this malice, this suffering, which gave us this whole crowd of martyrs, the very first. Well, they didn't know they were martyrs, in a way. But they were given this grace to die for Christ. And, you know, the feast, I know our translations sometimes can't do justice to what the texts, the ancient or the traditional texts in Latin said, but I think we could do a better job than we do sometimes. For instance, the prayer today says, Almighty God, you know, these holy innocents, non loquendo sed moriendo confessi sunt. They made their confession not by speaking, but by dying. It would have been nice to have something like that. But what I want to help reflect on this morning is these texts. The Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled, out of Egypt I called my son. That refers to Israel. You know, when Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. I carried him. I held him close to my cheek. And this God's soliloquy, God's reflection on his love for Israel. And Matthew says, you see, that the real meaning of that, or the fulfilled meaning of it, is Jesus, Israel, being called back. It's not just a coincidence or a playing with words. It's a penetration into the mystery. God called Israel out of Egypt. And Hosea, this inspired mystic prophet, you know, is delivering an oracle. I have Jeremiah open here, but maybe we could take a quick look at this Hosea text as well. Because it's a really powerful text. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. The more I called them, the farther they went from me, sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. And yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk, who took them in my arms. I drew them with human cords, with bonds of love. I fostered them like one who raises an infant to his cheek. This is God reflecting on Israel. And now his own son is fleeing and going to be called back out of Egypt and make good all that Israel failed to do. But you remember how this continues, you know. Finally, how could I give you up, O Ephraim? Deliver you up, O Israel? How could I treat you like Adamah or like Zeboim? My own heart turns against me. I love you too much. And so you see, when we hear these texts and read these texts, it's like we're supposed to complete the song ourselves, you know. If somebody says, oh, say, can you see? You're supposed to be able to finish it. You understand? Or you are my sunshine, you're supposed to be able to finish it. So when you hear, out of Egypt I called my son, you're supposed to know the whole song. And now we have another one. After the children are killed, a voice in Ramah, sobbing and loud lament, Rachel. Rachel is who? Who is Rachel? She's the wife of Jacob, one of the great matriarchs of Israel, right? Rachel, weeping for her children. And she would not be consoled since they were no more. The Ramah that he's talking about is probably a little north of Bethlehem. Rachel's tomb is in Bethlehem. Fought over every day. There's Israeli soldiers around it all the time. It's another story. But what is Rachel weeping about in Jeremiah? The exile. Here's her children, Israel, God's favorites, going off into Israel, into exile. And here you see more tragedy, more suffering. Now, since Rachel's tomb is there by in Bethlehem, you know, Matthew sees Rachel, one of the mothers of Israel, weeping over this whole scene. But you see, again, you have to know the whole song. Thus says the Lord, cease your cries of mourning. Wipe the tears from your eyes. The sorrow you have shown shall have its reward, says the Lord. And they shall return from the enemy's land. There is hope for your future, says the Lord. Your sons shall return to their own borders. These children will not have died in vain. Rachel, don't mourn. Do you see God's plan? Do you see how, you know, you hear, I think in both of these texts, no other word for it, that God the Father loves us with an affection. He loves us with affection. Just read that text in Hosea. Listen to God say, don't weep anymore. Don't. It will turn out well. And in this case, these children have paid for this, that they are part of a plan that brings about eternal life for every human being who wants it. Because of the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So you look at Mary at the cross and you see Rachel, don't you? Weeping. Weeping over her son, Israel. And the Spirit saying, yes, weep, weep, mourn. This is the worst, cruelest, most vicious, evil thing that ever happened. But remember, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. There will be a resurrection. You see how important it is that we... So that Matthew's, and he's the only one who does this for in this story. He's saying, from the beginning, you must realize that God's plan is joy. Not suffering. There is suffering. There is sin. Because there's free will. And because there's Satan. But the end of the story is joy. Okay.